here to meet with you. Thank you that your spirit is here, God. I will bless the You're altogether lovely. You're altogether worthy. Altogether wonderful to me. Sing, King. King of all days. Oh, so highly exalted. Glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth.
Ourselves before you, the only true God. Besides you, there is none other. Receive our worship, Father. We place ourselves, O God, at your feet. And our cry, O God, Father, this day is this, that you will manifest your glory in us and through us. That will be, O God, the light that you say we are in a world that is filled with darkness, a world that is mesmerized by confusing messages. Lord, O God, that there will be a clarity, O God, in the message that you bring forth in, with, by, and through us. Oh, we humble ourselves before you. Like the prophet Isaiah said, send me. You need not look for anyone else. Send me. And Father, if you're going to use anyone, use me. Use us as your people to glorify your holy name, to set things in proper order. We give you praise for all things, Father. For you are more than enough. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You altogether lovely, altogether worthy, you altogether wonderful to me. Give us a mouth, give us a voice. Fill it, Lord, and do your perfect will, Father. Satan is forever defeated, and you are Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the house of the Lord this wonderful day that the Lord mighty God has made for you and I to rejoice and be glad. Thank you so very much. This morning, I began sharing with us about the importance of the words that we speak from our mouths and how those words determine seasons. Whether we stay in a particular season forever or move from one season to another, and how it's related to the word of God in our mouths. It is your words change the knob, makes the switch, and that knob or those words have to be orchestrated by God. It is the words of God that make those changes. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God tells us in James 3 that we don't have control of our tongues. That's the one who's captain, who's the captain, or the one who's riding the horse that has that control. So your words are either controlled by God or controlled by the devil. It's always controlled by another being that is not natural. And the supernatural supersedes the natural. And so if you give yourself to the devil, then the words that are going to come out of your mouths are going to be based on devilish statements. And that becomes your future. The terrible thing about it is this, that the devil is such a deceiver that when you first start listening to the devil's voice, you're going to speak things that are positive and good and stuff like that. And you think, oh yeah, this is all working. And then he starts making the switcheroo on you. You start speaking death out of your mouth. The first place of the speaking of death is the speaking of death into other people's lives. But what you don't know is that what you say comes back to you. It forms, there's a spiritual law of full circle. What you say comes back to you. So when you say evil words, they come back to you. When you say good words, they come back to you. So the way the Lord wants you to say words out of your mouth is to, if it's going to be a bad word, say, the Lord rebukes you. The Lord says this. And so the Word of God tells us even Michael did not bring railing accusations against Satan. You know, so if you're going to be doing spiritual warfare, know how to separate yourself. If you put yourself in the midst of it and say, I this and I that, and then those words are coming back. When we say, the Lord says, it goes back to him, but he's already taken the curse for you. Hallelujah. But when it comes to blessing, the Word of God says, you speak the blessing. It says, bless and curse not. That's how you inherit the blessing. Hallelujah. So we have to be careful with our words, what we say, how we say it, how we declare it. Know where you are aligned, where you are protected under the shadow of his hand, and know where you don't have that covering. So you step back into line. It is the principle of humility. That's why God put it that way. So you humble yourself. Hallelujah. So that you don't take credit. Look at what I did. No. Look what the Lord did. He used my voice to propel it in the earth realm, but it is his doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to continue with that subject, but this morning, while I started, when I started speaking to us, the Lord said something to me that I declared to you, and the truth of it is that when he said it, I had not thought about it the way he was saying it. So when I got home, I said, Lord, it's clear you explained it, but why do you work at it that way? And it wasn't even 30 seconds. He gave me the word for it. So I want to start from there and then build on what we started this morning, because it's all related. It's about words. I said to you this morning, I said, you can be in a state where you're sick. You know, a person can be full of cancer. And the doctor says you're going to be dead in 1 month, 2 months, a year, 6 months, whatever. But you defy all of that, because even in the midst of that sickness, God is saying you can be healthy. And when he first said it to me, I was somewhere around here. When he first said it to me, he said, I want you to say this. I said, okay. How does this work? He said, it's just like peace. So I started talking to you. Remember, I started talking about peace. You can be in a crisis. There's all kinds of confusion around you, but you are in a state of peace. This is the same principle. Oh, that's good. I like that. Okay, that explained it. But I still had a question. So when I got home, I was reflecting on it, and sitting with Mama, and I said, that thing the Lord said this morning, I had not seen it. I know the principle, but I had not made the application before. I said, but why does he allow it to happen that way? And I started leaving, to go do something. And the Lord said, son, it's just like the thorn that Paul had. I said, oh, that explains it. I like that. Because Paul was in a state where he was even actually asking God to remove a certain thorn from his life. He requested it from God over and over and over and over again. And God's response was, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. And the reason that particular word aligns with what we're talking about here is this, that God wants you to come into agreement with his word rather than your circumstance. And if there's any takeaway from the message this morning and also this evening, it is this. Don't empower your problem. Not because you tolerate it. But because you allow God to empower you in the midst of whatever it is that's happening. All the earth had issues, but there was a place where the word of God was operating called Egypt, and it had all the resources it needed. And when it was time for deliverance for the people of God, and plagues were hitting Egypt, the flies, the frogs, the bloodied water, the death of cattle and their animals, and even until the firstborn, there was a people of covenant in Goshen. And nothing that was happening in Egypt was happening with them. They were shielded, even though they were surrounded by issues. We're living in that kind of a time today. The world is being lambasted left and right by all kinds of issues. But we need to live in this cocoon in which the hand of God shadows and protects us. But if you don't see yourself there and you don't speak those words out of your mouth, you find yourself where everybody else is. It doesn't matter whether you've been a Christian for 20 years or 40 years or 100 years. Your words will segregate you from the protection of God and cause you to be part of the dangers that's happening outside, or your words can separate you from that so that you reminded that you are a child of God. You're kept under the graces of the living God. That makes sense? So don't make your measurement based on, oh, this guy, he's such a strong believer. How come this bad thing happened to them? No, you don't know why it happened. And it's none of your business to figure it out. It's your business to say, that's not my portion. That's not my portion. But what if, Pastor, it still happens to me? And something bad really happens to me, even though I was believing that it would not happen. Still, God will keep you in the valley of the shadow of death. No matter what, God will cause all things to work together for your good. Amen? So be reminded of that today. And do not betray yourself by your words. Don't come into agreement with the enemy based on what the enemy is trying to accomplish. It is his responsibility, or it is his duty, to look for trouble. In Nigeria, we say, people say things like, don't look for my trouble. That means, don't disturb me, don't harass me, and stuff like that. And I say things like, I don't have any trouble that you're going to find. I don't have anything that you're going to get here. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ says. The enemy has nothing in me that is going to connect with. So I'm going to have to put my life down. And when he said that, it made it possible for the enemy to get him. The Lord Jesus Christ himself made it possible for the devil to be able to reach him. And he did that for your benefit and my benefit. If he did not open the door, no devil in hell can touch him. And what I'm trying to say to us tonight is this. Don't make room for the devil to have access. Don't make room for the devil to have access. So how do you make the devil to have access? By you agreeing with the circumstance. Because the enemy thought it, because you even dreamt it in a dream. Oh, this bad thing happened in my dream. That does not mean I need to agree with it. Why should I agree with that? It's not good. I don't agree with it. Oh, I dreamt I died in my dream. No, I dreamt differently. I'm living. No. Don't come into agreement with the lies of the devil. Oh, somebody dreamt this dream that this happened to me. Oh, now I say, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Oh God. No. We're not doing that. So, aren't you going to pray against it? If I don't accept the fact that it's coming to me, why am I praying against it? That bullet is going somewhere else. It's not me. It is not me. I have no connection with it. It will never find me. Hallelujah. So what am I doing? I start celebrating the goodness of God. I start declaring what I want to see happen. Yes, the enemy have planned this. But this is what is going to happen. Did you hear what I just said? This is what the enemy planned, but this is what is going to happen. I am determining by the authority of the words of God in my mouth what is going to happen. It's not what the devil is saying. Since when does he have authority over me? I'm head and not tail, above only and not beneath. He's never been above me and will never be above me. So whatever it is that he is intending to accomplish shall not operate in my life. Oh, look at what the witches are trying to do. Oh, really? So now I'm going to go start praying and fasting because of what the witches. You know what I just did? I just gave it power. That's what that tail is going to be wagging the head. No. You've heard me say it before, problems don't make me pray. Mm-mm. If you live your life based on problems causing you to pray, you're going to have lots of problems. So you can pray. No, we're not doing that. And I stand before the Lord and before you, and I'm saying it now, and the Lord knows that that's the truth. Problems don't make me pray nothing. So I asked God, God, you have an assignment, something for me to say. I'm going to open my mouth, fill it, let me say what you're saying. My prayer has to be a proclamation of the purposes of God that I want to see happen. It's not about problems. Word of God says, don't give out of necessity. So needs will not prompt me to give. So what prompts you to give? Hearing from God what God wants. Praise the Lord. Like this evening. Lord, what do you want? He tells me. And I said, okay, I'll give you that. And then he says, but I would like this. I said, come on, you ask too much. I said, but I'll give it to you. Because your relationship with God has to be relational. You can have a discussion with God. Hello? Somebody listening? You can have a discussion with God about anything, about everything. Talk to Him. Just talk to Him. Just have a discussion. And the more you talk with Him, the more relational it becomes. He'll talk to you at the weirdest times about different things, what's in his heart, what he wants to do, how he feels about something. And you ask him, what do you want me to do about it? Because here in the earth, he needs you. He needs somebody. And so I need to train myself to be on the God lane. Concerning anything. Now, let me put it another way to you. If you've been here long enough, then you know that as a congregation that we're doing different things at different times, accomplishing things that a mega church should be doing. But it's not because we have mega numbers. But in spite of what numbers we have, we are doing all kinds of stuff. Amen? Well, if you look at your own ability, your numbers, and you think that's what's going to make it happen, then you fail. What does God do with Gideon? He actually reduces the numbers. And the guy's thinking, you got enemies out there that fill the whole place. I don't even have enough to fight them. It's not like 1 to 10. We're talking about 1 to 100 here. And then you come in here and reducing it. And after we reduce, you say, no, you still have too much. What is he trying to teach him? This is where God gets you to. Where your enemy starts prophesying their doom and declaring that you are ahead. Because that's exactly what happened. You see, for the enemy to fall apart, God had to give them dreams. And they started confessing with their mouth their defeat. For Israel to lose out and not get into the promised land at the time God wanted, they had to confess with their mouths. We, the people in the land, they are giants. It's a land that eats up the people within it. And we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. And in our own eyes, we saw ourselves as grasshoppers compared to those people. And God says, okay, I guess you're not going in. Because you do not believe that the God who got you out of Egypt crossed the Red Sea. Wiped out the whole army of Pharaoh, that had kept you in the wilderness all these years, you do not believe that I can take and get rid of those guys. And here comes a man called Caleb. Caleb says, later on, give me this mountain. And what mountain? It's a mountain full of giants. And the guy's an old man. Give me this mountain. I'm going to go take it. Did he take it? Of course he did. Where did that boldness come from? It came from him having a relationship with God and recognizing that God was a God of covenant. And that Moses had made a statement and made a promise to him. And even though Moses is long dead, he knew that that word was still alive. What do you know about the promises of God that is spoken to you about? Do you accept it to be true? No matter what the situation is, no matter who is in government or not in government, no matter what the economy of the nation is, what your business, where you work, what they're doing or not doing, do you believe that God is still your provider and God is still your source? Or are you going to determine the decisions you make based on natural laws? Natural laws. God put natural laws there. But what we call miracles is a bypassing of those natural laws or superseding those natural laws and God doing what he wants to do with a life. The birth of Jesus came forth naturally, but also came forth without being natural. Hello? Are you with me? Please hear what I'm saying to you tonight. You cannot make the decisions of your life just based on what you think you know. You make it based on what God knows. And you know what God knows by the words that he speaks. You know what God knows by the words that he speaks. And you appreciate what God's word says because you know that he loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for you. And that what he has designed and purposed will come to pass. Why? Because you are chosen of God. I'm chosen of God. It doesn't matter what the devil thinks, what society thinks, nothing that the enemy thinks or wants to do is going to happen because that's not my portion. I have greater grace upon my life. Greater is he that is in you. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? Huh? Do you believe that? Then if you believe that, that will be the thing that runs your life on a daily basis. This is what God's word says. But this is what your circumstance says. I know what my circumstance is, but I know what God's word says. And what God's word says supersedes what these books, this accounting book and this bank account is saying right now. I am not led by my bank account. I'm led by the word of the Lord. You say, Pastor, you always do that? No. But at least I'm smart enough to correct myself. Oh yeah, I've made some lousy decisions based on what was in my bank account. We can't do this because of this. God, you know we don't have this. And God, you know this. And God, you know this. And God will ask, but what did I say? Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, God, if I fall through this crack, it's you. And I've not fallen through any crack yet. Some way, somehow, God knows how to cause you to walk not only on water, but on air. You just float through and go over to the other side and say, how did I get here? Because he's still in the transportation business. Philip is in one place and the next time he takes one step and he's in another city. God can do that? Absolutely. But you got to connect with him. Got to connect with him. My faith is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord. In you, in you, in you. But what is your faith based on? His word. His word. And saying what God's word says. What does he say about my health? I'm healed. I wish above all things that you what? Prosper. And be in what? In health. Even as your soul prospers. So to the extent that your soul is prospering, you're going to prosper in your wealth and in your health. But how does my soul prosper? My soul prospers by the word of God that I meditate on. Psalm 1. Yeah? Psalm 1. My soul prospers because I am meditating on the word of God day and night. Let's look at it. Psalm 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel, the advice, the systems, the philosophies, the ideologies of the ungodly. And the best definition I can give you of an ungodly person is not a person that does not believe in God, but the person who has unbelieved God. You used to think this is what God will do, but then you ungodly it. So, what does that mean? Do you believe God can do this? Oh, yeah, God can do anything. God can do anything. Oh, yeah, praise the Lord. God can do anything. Hallelujah. But will God do this? Well, let's pray about that. No, that's ungodly. You either believed God can or you didn't. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. That means standing in their ungodly ideologies, placing your faith in the systems of this world. Nor seated in the seat of the scornful. The progression from walking to standing to sitting is like Lot. Setting his tent on the outskirts of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the next thing we know, he's inside the city. You don't want to go in that route. So, Pastor, I'm saying, don't buy into the lying thinking ideologies of the world system. Once you start embracing it, you're going to keep on going. You're going to go from hot to lukewarm. Don't do it. Not seated in the seat of the scornful. You know, people that are scornful of the things of God? Ah, look at all these people. I used to believe like you. One of these days, you're going to grow up. I'm 40-something years in ministry now, and I'm still growing up. I still believe the word of God. In fact, I believe the word of God more now than I did then. Was that because I had no problems? Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me? It's like that song, Nobody Knows the Troubles I Have Seen. Oh, yeah, we've seen them. But in spite of it, wow, the goodness of God. For I reckon, Paul says in Romans 8, that the sufferings, all these troubles that we're going through, it's nowhere to be compared to the rewards that God has in place. Verse 2 says, but his delight, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God. And in his law, the word of God, that he meditate day and night. Now, Christian meditation is not, you know, sitting down, crossing your leg and going, That's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about meditating on the word of God, we're talking about taking that word of God and chewing on it, going up and down that word and seeing, turning it all over and allowing that word and you to become one. Meditating on the word of God day and night. You're thinking about the word of God. Thinking about it. God, what about this? How does this work? How does this relate with that? What does this one mean here? Oh, okay, I get that. And as you're doing that, it's getting deeply grounded inside of you. The word of God. Verse 3. He says, and he shall be. And he shall what? Be. That means it's not yet. But he shall be. That means there's process, there's progression. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Wow. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Every tree has its own season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth, whatsoever he doeth, this one that's meditating on the word of God, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, shall succeed, shall continue to grow in spite of. Now, when we think about prosperity, let's not just think about you had one and now you have 10. That's not only prosperity. You can have one and still have one and still be prosperous because of all the opposition that's coming against you, and in spite of the opposition, you're still standing. Because you are fulfilling your mandate. That makes sense? You're not prosperous when you fail, but you're prosperous when you continue to be what God says you are. Whatsoever I do, it shall prosper. Next verse. The ungodly are not so. The ungodly are not so. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Verse 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They don't have legs to stand on. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Why does God know the way of the righteous? Because the way of the righteous is in him. The way of the righteous is in him. The way of the righteous is in his word. That's what's directing them. That's what's fueling them. That's what's driving them. That's what's mobilizing them. You see, the systems of this world are there to create confusion. When you look at your world today and you see all the bad things happening, all the confusion that's happening in our world today, it's based on the manipulation of man-ideologies, the algorithms that have been placed in systems. So the reality is, if I were, for example, to look for some information on a particular subject, maybe politically or economics or whatever, the information that I will get might be totally different from the one you get, based on the manipulation of something, an algorithm that has been written just personally for you. Are you with me? So when you think about it, and you see the world that we live in today, you wonder why people think the way they think. And you say, how on earth are you thinking the way that you're thinking? How can you be thinking this about this person? Wow, and you say you're a Christian? Well, you think you're thinking that thought by yourself, but it's been driven by something else. But the constant that we have in the Word of God is this, that God is consistent. He is truth. It's not your truth, manipulated truth just for you, and another manipulated truth just for you, and another manipulated truth just for you, and another for you. So we have all kinds of people confused and don't understand each other, and it's all babble all over again. People are acting based on the truth that they got, which is not the truth. Now, God has a particular truth just for you, and that is based on His Word. Amen? That is the general truth, which is consistent and constant. But God also has His own algorithm just for you. Just for you, based on the destiny and destination He has for you. And you need to embrace that personal Word. Even as I'm speaking right now, I can tell you this, I'm speaking one word, but in this congregation right now, people are hearing different things. You'll be amazed. If I ask the question right now, what did you hear me saying? You'll be amazed at what different people are hearing. I used to wonder, as a young minister, how is this working? Were you in the same service I was in? I said that, oh, Pastor, that thing that you said today was so powerful. It really blessed me. I said, exactly what did I say? And they tell me what they heard. I said, I had to keep my mouth shut. I said, I don't remember saying that. When did I say that? But they heard it. Why did they hear it? Why did it bless them? Because God took that one word and tailor-made it just for them. And when I got that, it dawned on me, hey, if this is how it works, then I have no reason to tame down the message that I'm preaching. I have to just preach the word as raw as it is, and watch God dispense it to the young Christian that just came to church, has never been in church, and they hear it and say, I got exactly what you're saying. I understood it. Oh, I loved church. Have you been in church before? No. So how is it that you understood what I was talking about? I understood it. Same word, because God tailor makes it for that person. And it gets them to the place where they need to get to, and they start meditating on that word and begins to marinate in them. And they, oh yeah, Yeah, if I, oh yeah, that problem that I had, what he just said now, that's what I needed to solve that problem. Oh, and he's focused on that. Meanwhile, I'm talking about something else. I'm long gone, and he's still stuck in that one thing that God wanted them to hear. Now, if that's what God does, then I know this. God knows exactly what you need to hear tonight. He knows what you need right now, what you're going to need tomorrow, next week. So what am I supposed to do? Open my mouth and let him fill it. Now, everything I've been talking to you about tonight so far, it's not exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. But that's what is needed right now. Somebody needs it right there, or somebody needs it right here. But at the same time, even though I'm not talking from the passages of Scripture that I had lined up to speak to you from, I'm still saying exactly the same thing. One way or the other, it's still being communicated. And it's this very simple fact. God knows you. And he knows exactly what you need so that you can be the overcomer that you are. You are an overcomer. And so the word of God will cause your soul to prosper. And as the word of God in you prospers, succeeds, grows, and is established, out of the abundance of that knowledge, your mouth is going to speak. You're going to prophesy. Because God wants you to prophesy about your life. The prophetic word on your life is not just based on what I say. It's also based on what you are saying. And the word of God says in Timothy, fight a good warfare. Fight a good fight. Based on the prophetic word that was pronounced into your life. You take that word. The man of God said this. I read it in the Bible. And based on this word, this is what is going to happen. And God says, I say amen to that. Don't you know that God says amen too? It just simply means, so let it be. As you've spoken out of your mouth, so let it be. So it is. So it is. I agree with you. Many years ago, I'll wrap up now. I don't remember the exact situation right now, but in terms of what the situation was. But I do remember the discussion. I was talking to the Lord about something, and he gave me a response. And I stopped, thought about it. I said, I don't like that idea. He says, you don't like the idea? I said, no, I think that's the wrong idea. So he says to me, he says, so what exactly is your idea? So I gave him my idea. And would you know, he said, I think I like your idea. I agree with you. Your idea is better. I said, wait. Why on earth did you tell me that idea when you knew that my idea was better than yours? Did I get smarter? No, he said, I just wanted to find out if you knew what a better idea was. It was based on a relationship. You can have a discussion. I don't think that is going to work. Okay, what do you think is going to work? I think this is going to work. That's smart. Let's do yours. Ah. But where did my idea come from? My idea came from him. It came from him. There's no wisdom that I've got that will outdo God at any time. That same idea was there, and I happened to pick on that, and he says, you got it. Let's put it another way. A man of God went into a store. And when he got into the store, he saw this kid and the mom going around, and this little kid is there. And he's there with his granddaughter. And he got some candy for his granddaughter. And this other kid is busy looking. And he says to him, "Do you want some?" He said, "Yes, sir." "Then take some." And he won't. And the mom comes and says, "Son, the man says, take some." And the kid is standing there and looking. Just staring. So the guy goes in and grabs the candy and puts it in the hands of the kid. And when they got outside, the mom asked, "Why were you so timid?" The guy said, "Take some." He says, "Mama, did you see his hand? His hand is bigger than mine." "His hand is bigger than mine. I was born at night, but not last night. If I go take by my own strength, my own ability, I'll get a few, but his hand is big." Yeah. Hallelujah. So this is the deal as I wrap up today. Hey, God knows best. Amen. And God says, "Tell God, choose for me. Amen. Would you like to do that tonight? Just say, "God, choose for me." You say, "Pastor, what does that have to do with the word of God?" Everything. Letting God fill your mouth. He knows exactly what needs to be said for you to get the results that you need to get. So don't just start praying crazy prayers. You know, just shooting at anything. You don't know what you're shooting at. You might just shoot yourself. Don't waste your bullets. Hallelujah. Let God show you exactly what needs to be shot. He knows what card to remove from the deck of that structure that you've built. The one card that needs to be pulled, and the whole thing comes collapsing. He knows it. He knows what thread to pull, and the whole thing unravels. You don't have to start pulling this and pulling this and pulling that and pulling this and going crazy pulling everything. No, no. Just come in there and say, God will show you exactly what you do with every situation that you face him. He will lead you step by step by step. And every step you take will be a miracle to the glory of God and for your benefit and the benefit of everyone around you. If you receive this word, shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. You be God, you not be man, oh. You be God, you not be man, oh. Alpha, Omega, you be God. You be God, you be God, oh. You not be man, oh. You are God. You are not a man. You are God. You are not a man. You are Alpha, Omega, and you are God. You are God. You are God, oh, you are not a man. Lord, you are altogether God and not a man. And Lord, oh God, we thank you, Father, that we cannot say man up to you, but we can say God up. So Lord, oh God, be God in our lives. Be God in every area of our lives. Subdue every enemy, oh God, this day. Thank you, Lord, for the authority of your word, for your everlasting peace, for joy that passes all understanding and peace that passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural blessings on our lives. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you've made us head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that you've given us the ability to see and the ability to hear and the ability to speak. Lord, oh God, the ability to walk, the ability to touch, the ability, oh God, to move in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, to be everything you say we are to be. Father, we give you praise, oh God, that storms may rage, but Lord, oh God, those storms will not deter us. For Lord, oh God, with you in our boat, we arrive on the shore, oh God, immediately. So Lord, oh God, we invite you to come into this ship. Come into this boat, come into this place, come into this life, Lord, oh God, so that we arrive speedily, supernaturally, oh God, as our destiny, oh God, our destination point, your purpose fulfilled, your will done. Thank you, Lord, oh God, that every obstacle is eradicated. Mountains have been reduced and valleys have been filled. Crooked paths are made straight. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, that in the midst of all the pandemic and all the nonsense happening in the world, all the commotion, that you are keeping your people, you're establishing your people, you are promoting your people, you are elevating your people, you are establishing your people. Lord, oh God, you are raising up your people, a mighty people, oh God, under the lordship of Jesus Christ to fulfill your divine mandate. Lord, there are systems that are birthed from the supernatural realm that need to come into the hands of your sons and your daughters. Supernatural wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that bypasses the systems of this world and causes your people to flourish in spite of all the problems. We ask, oh God, for a supernatural download. Remove every virus that will corrupt the messaging. Remove everything, oh God, that stands in the way. Clean the hardware and clean the hard drive of our lives and fill it, oh God, with your information. And show us, oh God, how to tap, oh God, into those things in the realm of the Spirit. Lord, build your firewall around, oh God, that cannot be penetrated by hackers in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, oh God, that we are not hackable in our spirits, in our souls, in our bodies. The devil has no access. Thank you, Lord, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, that you are shutting down and bringing down to naught every system of darkness, and you're causing your people to shine brightly in a world that is grossly filled with darkness. Lord, oh God, your glory is rising upon us, and we are rising as your people. A lighthouse, O God, that shines your light so that men will not be destroyed. A harbor light that leads your people to their destination. We give you praise for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. We surrender our lives to you. For this day we declare you are God. You are not a man. A man that will lie. Your yes is yes and your no is no. And Lord, oh God, we come into agreement with you. And we bless your holy name, Father. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, is there anyone here tonight that needs to give their lives to the Lord? You've heard the word of God and say, you know what? I need to turn my life over to God. I want to have this connection with the Lord tonight. If there's anybody like that in here today, just raise your right hand and I'll pray with you and make sure that your walk with God is started right. Praise the Lord. Well, thank God that everyone here has given their lives to the Lord and they have a relationship with the Father. Be blessed and be highly favored. We'll see you Wednesday for a Bible study and of course on Friday for the prayer service. And those who are in leadership, do remember that the first Wednesday of November is not a Bible study night for everybody, but it's just for those that are in leadership. We have our leadership training night on the first Wednesday of November. Do mark that date, that time. And if you are in leadership, serving in leadership, then I expect you to be in the house to be part of that particular special time. Amen? Praise the Lord. God bless you. And have a wonderful night and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Good night.